KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Washington's newly elected governor, attorney general, and secretary of state are busy hiring staff, announcing transition teams, and setting up shop in the Capitol. But newly elected Washington state auditor Troy Kelly hasn't been seen much. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports.
Kelly is a Democratic state representative who was elected to replace outgoing auditor Brian Sontag, who's held the office for 20 years. Sontag says he met Kelly for coffee after the election.
And offered up space, equipment, access to personnel, whatever he might need.
And what's been the response?
Well, the response so far was he wanted to wait till after the election was officially certified, which has now happened.
Sontag says he hasn't spoken to Kelly since, and Kelly hasn't been to the office. But the new auditor did send an email to his future staff saying, "I will be working on the transition. I do not want to distract the office and hope to begin work in January seamlessly." By contrast, Secretary of State-elect Kim Wyman has announced her executive team. Attorney General-elect Bob Ferguson named his transition committee and taped a video introduction to the staff with outgoing Attorney General Rob McKenna. Neither Kelly nor his campaign manager responded to calls for comment. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
We're joined by Washington State Auditor Brian Sontag to talk about his 20 years on the job. But first of all, just a word or two about your successor, Troy Kelly. Is there plenty of time for him to get started now on the transition? We see the other state leaders already getting the transition teams together, and we're not seeing it from your successor.
Well, Ross, I think there is. Everybody transitions a bit differently. There's no, blueprint or exact formula to do it. I think one thing it might speak to is his trust or faith or confidence in existing staff and folks who are heading up the different divisions within the auditor's office now. Troy does have a working knowledge of the office. He's been chair of the JLARC committee, the Joint Legislative Audit Review Committee, so he does know a bit about the audit work that we do. He knows some of the staff and personnel. So I think I'm willing to trust his judgment.
Are there a lot of political appointees in your office who he can change out?
Well, sure there are. I mean, there are. I wouldn't necessarily call them political appointees, but there are people who serve at the pleasure of the auditor. When I leave office in the middle of January, I think there are four people who are leaving with me. And so he'll have an opportunity with those positions to fill those as he see fits, all or part of those, combined positions, whatever he might want to do, and still be able to maintain the integrity of the division leaders in our staff, the directors of audit divisions, performance audit, whatever that might be. If those folks fit his goals, then I think he'll have a good operation.
Brian Sontag, in your 20 years, you were pretty successful at getting support of both Republicans and Democrats in your job as auditor. The campaign was a pretty bitter one this time to succeed you. Does that bode ill for the auditor being able to get that cooperation that he or she needs?
Well, after an election, especially one like this, I think there's going to require some fence mending. By either party, the winner or the loser or both, because there's now a job to do. The job now is to govern and to govern on behalf of all the citizens of the state of Washington, whether they supported your candidacy or not. If you think back 20 years ago, my general election opponent was Sam Reed. We were both county auditors at the time, running for the office of state auditor. It was not a personal or a personality battle. We both ran for an office with not dissimilar agendas or plans to take over the state auditor's office. And we remain friends today. And that doesn't always happen very often anymore. But I really think that the tenor of the campaign for auditor this year was disappointing to a lot of people. It was to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the office is, I think it requires more than that. It shouldn't be a partisan office, in my opinion. And to do the job well, you can't do it in a partisan way.
Why did you decide this was the time to leave the job? Are you just sick of it now? You had it?
Well, certainly not sick of it. I didn't have a long list of reasons to not run or to not be in the office. It just feels right. When I announced it a little more than a year ago, it felt like the right time. And all throughout this last year, it felt like I made the right decision. No regrets. Mm-hmm. The opportunity to serve in this office for 20 years is it's been very humbling. To be hired by the people of the state to work on their behalf in probably the most independent and populist statewide office created in the state constitution. It's been a lot of fun, and I think we've got the office in the right place right now to be able to hand it over to someone to take it wherever it needs to go next, whatever their plans and thoughts might be.
Brian Sontag's here for his exit interview from the state auditor office. We're at 206-543-5869, 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Before you got elected state auditor in 2002, you had been elected to the Pierce County Clerk. You were just 26 years old. Mm-hmm. You also were elected twice to the office of Pierce County Auditor before getting elected to the state position. You and your wife live in Tacoma. You've got five boys and four grandchildren. And
I
auditing...
have to update that bio a little bit. We've got eight grandchildren.
All right.
Now, so it's...
Funny how that number tends to grow.
Yeah, it multiplies, yeah.
But auditing is in your family. Your father was Pierce County Auditor for 22 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I grew up with public service, elected office as just part of the family. It's what we did. My dad was in elected office when I was born. He died when I was in high school. He was in office. My brother Dick then later served on the Tacoma City Council, was elected three times, and then served on the Tacoma School Board. And when I was 26 years old, I was working in the Pierce County Clerk's office at the time. And the guy who was the county clerk at that time, Don Perry, after 16 years, decided not to run for reelection. And the folks in the office wanted someone with some history of working in that administrative office, working with the superior courts, to run. Well, there really was no one who had any interest at all, and I wasn't sure I really had any interest.
Was your father still around at that time? Did he have?
No, he died when I was 17 years old. So I was a senior in high school when Dad died, so he never saw me get elected. Never saw my brother Dick get elected mm-hmm. in office either. So there was a long gap in between there, but I was not—I wasn't afraid. I wasn't daunted by the opportunity or possibility to run for public office, and if elected, the opportunity to serve and make a difference. And I think we have.
How about the five Sontag sons? Do you want them to continue in public service and maybe follow in your footsteps as you did in your father's?
Well, there are a lot of ways to be involved in public service. Certainly, elected office is just one of those. I'm really proud of the boys. Jan and I blended five boys a long time ago, and I'd be more than happy, if not thrilled, if one of them decided to get involved in elected office or public service in that fashion. I do have a daughter-in-law, Dee, who's enrolled at the University of Tacoma and wants to go to law school, and I think she's got some political ambition. So there might be one coming yet, a new member of the family, but Dee's a terrific girl.
Brian Sontag, your office came to new prominence following the Tim Eyman-sponsored initiative to require the state to start doing performance audits, and that fell into your job description as state auditor. How has that changed your office?
Well, it's changed the office quite a bit, but I think I'll back up just a little bit. I think because the first thing we wanted to do in this office was to use the credibility of the office to increase its visibility, to actually let citizens know that this office exists, that it works on their behalf, and it is their window, their access into state and local government operations. We audit about 2,700 different units of government. And so to really affect our ability to increase government accountability and transparency, we needed to raise that visibility. Well, we did so. We talked about performance audits for a long time, and we got some level of support in the legislature each year, but it was always a different group. One year, they finally passed a performance audit piece in the state budget, and at that time, Governor Locke vetoed it out of the budget, but we did keep the issue alive. And because the legislature didn't act, whenever there's a void, citizens likely will find a way to fill it. And Tim did lead an initiative campaign to bring performance audit to the state of Washington. It certainly wasn't a brand new idea because sure. many other states have been doing it. But here we are. We've done a lot of audits and we've saved a lot of money.
Well, maybe you could briefly explain what's the difference between an audit and a performance audit.
Well, doing our regular audits, our financial statement audits, compliance audits, looking to make sure government agencies are following red tape the way they're supposed to. A performance audit actually looks at outcomes and results of government programs and operations. It grades effectiveness. And that was a big tool missing. You know, in 1972, the GAO established requirements for auditing public agencies. And they came up with those standards for financial compliance and performance audits. And so that was, you know, that's 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Washington had been the only state in the country with a law on the books actually prohibiting the auditor from doing that work.
Well, you were able to do it. But as we've talked about before, your audits were kind of advice. Here's mm-hmm. what you could do, city or county or state agency, in order to improve your work. Mm-hmm. Generally, would you say that you got compliance or did people follow your advice over the years you've done it?
Well, a little bit slow start, maybe. People, I think, were used. No one likes to be audited. And we'll start there. But the fact that we've raised the visibility, that the public is actually interested in the work of this office, and opinion leaders all throughout the state, newspaper editors and others, support our work and want to hold those governments accountable. Well, we see around an 85% compliance rate right now, where of the recommendations we make in any kind of audit, but certainly performance audits, those recommendations are being implemented. I only have to point to the Port of Seattle several years ago, certainly a very contentious performance audit, a lot of pushback on the part of the port. They didn't like us doing that audit or saying yeah. anything we said.
And maybe remind people about what the more controversial aspects of that audit that you did.
Well, and probably the main point was we identified $96 million that had been misspent through contracting lapses. We'll just keep a short version here. But what we see if we fast forward is a few years down the road, they implemented virtually every recommendation we made. They now have their port commissioners communicate with the administrative staff. They record their executive sessions. They have a contract compliance officer that they never had before. And so what a great result that is from a very contentious audit. It mm-hmm. went on for a long time, raised a lot of attention. But, you know, it was the right thing to do. And it shows that we were right in what we were recommending. And it's made changes to that Port of Seattle as well as other port operations around the state and maybe even beyond.
A big success. Are there any audits performance audits that you did where you made what you felt were really strong recommendations that could have made that agency work better that have not been enacted, where you're still kind of sitting there going, well, I wish they'd done what we suggested?
Not really. We've looked at the Department of Health. We've certainly been with the Office of Financial Management, Seattle School District. We've been to a lot of places. Probably the State Department of Transportation, it's been slower to achieve results or changes, but that's a very bureaucratic operation with a lot of difficulty in making change. Olympia is very averse to change. We'll mm-hmm. start with that. So any state agency, especially one that size, is going to be a little bit more difficult to affect that kind of change than a local government, even the size of the Port of Seattle. But because they are a local government and independent, they can affect that change themselves.
State government has done a lot of cutbacks over the last six or so years. How has that affected state agencies and local agencies, for that matter, being accountable and taking care of business like this?
Well, they're all faced with cuts, some very, very drastic cuts, local governments as well as state agencies. But you can't cut on the accountability. Citizens still expect, demand, and deserve that level of accountability, that level of trust that they they give to everybody.
But they did hire. They did cut you, though, right? They did cut your office.
Well, we've been cut a bit, but we didn't cut our level of accountability, and we didn't cut our effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you've got to make some priorities. We had to make some priorities and some tough calls along the way. We, on our the state side of our audits, we experienced over 33% cut. But you're still seeing a lot of work come out of our office. You're still seeing an effect, and you're still seeing us as strong advocates for open government, accessible government, and government being responsible and listening to citizens.
I don't read all your reports, but I kind of spot check them sometimes with as an agency that I have some familiarity with.
If you read all of our reports, Ross, I would really question
my sanity.
Or maybe insomnia would be the reason.
But I got to say, you do come up with the occasional egregious problems within agencies, but I'm almost as impressed by the number of times it's pretty much pro forma. It's like you're doing fine, and you just this agency's doing fine. This agency's doing fine. When you think of all the ones that you've done, is that generally the pattern? Are the ones where there's problems, are they the unusual ones?
Sure, the problems are exceptions.
Yeah,
you know, 2,700 different units of government. We do over 1,000 audit reports a year. And for the vast, vast majority, they're clean. They're good audit reports. It's we're identifying a government operation that's performing well or doing the best they can with what they have, certainly being as open as they possibly can and should be, being transparent, allowing people in. The more open any of these governments are, the fewer other problems they have. But what we find are these government agencies are full of people who are trying to do a really good job in serving the public with fewer and fewer resources along the way.
You're leaving the state auditor's job. Are you retiring?
Well, I'm leaving the state auditor's office, but keep in mind, too, I spent 20 years in county government where I was audited by this office, and I think that perspective has helped. But no, I'm not retiring to a rocking chair. Public service is still a very important part of my life and is going to continue to be. My wife, Jan, works for the rescue mission in Tacoma, and I'm going to be going to work there as their CFO. David Curry is the executive director, and I've got just tremendous respect for David and the folks there and the work that they do, helping people, transforming lives, and there's a lot of need in these communities. And if I can be part of helping folks right there in Tacoma, where I've lived my whole life, well, I can't think of anything I'd rather do.
Well, maybe your successor, Troy Kelly, has already asked you this, but what's your advice for him as he moves into this job?
My advice is to go slow and make sure you listen to people. In fact, I came across that as part of a definition of auditor. You look it up in the dictionary, and it talks about the chart of accounts and looking at financial statements. But auditor also means, and the root of the word means, one who listens, has to do with that auditory part of the word. And you need to make sure that you're listening to the folks who you work with, the people who you work around, the folks who you audit, but also just citizens throughout the state. What do they want you to be doing? What's important to them? And as we established and identified a risk-based approach to our audit work, we really engage citizens in the process because that's who we work for and that's who we should be accountable to.
Brian Sontag, great to talk to you again.
Always, Ross. Thank you.
Brian Sontag leaving office as state auditor on January 15th next year after 20 years in that job. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.